Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Friday Breakfast Show, brought to you by the Pirate Rugby. My name is Hugh, and this is your 15-minute mini-podcast capturing all the news and results in the world of rugby union in between the recordings of the main podcast, as well as Ender's vital rugby TV guide to set you up for the weekend's action ahead. Don't forget to check out our YouTube channel, which is growing all the time. We've just hit 900 subscribers, which we're very excited. One big push to get to the one-ton mark now. You'll find exclusive videos on there that you won't find anywhere else. Okay, cracking straight on with the show, trying to keep it actually within 15 minutes this week. Thursday night rugby, Cardiff versus Swansea in the Welsh Premiership was the only game. And it was a bit of a tri-fest. Swansea led 19 points to 12 at half-time, which would have been a bit of an upset. It was played in Cardiff, but four second-half tries from the hosts meant Cardiff ran out 38 points to 34 winners. A bit of a Super Rugby scoreline there. And they're looking safe in fourth place in the final playoff spot now. So congratulations to Cardiff. Friday morning rugby. So I know some people who listen to this pod listen to it before they catch up on all of the Super Rugby that happens on a Friday morning. So if you don't want to know the results of the first game in Super Rugby this weekend, look away now. It was the Hurricanes versus the Rebels, a typical 54 to 28 scoreline in favour of the Canes. Very Super Rugby. Five first-half tries, putting the results beyond doubt before the interval. Rebels fought back admirably and played some nice stuff. Tupo, who might be off to Leinster, we're told, made a very nice break at one point, but it didn't come to anything and the result was pretty much safe. On to the other news away from the results. So, a bit of behind the curtain for you. Up until now, I've been saving my points to talk about on this podcast in my bookmarks in Twitter. And then what I've been doing is I've been writing those bookmarks down in my notebook and then reading them out to you in this podcast. However, I've since realised, why don't I just read them direct from the bookmarks and save myself the ink? So that's what I'm going to do now. So these are the headlines from the week that was. The WRU have appointed a new chief financial officer. He's called Leighton Davis and he was formerly chief financial officer at the BBC. So Leighton, first bit for you to sort out is more money for the regions, please. But make sure that the regions spend it on sensible stuff and not 35-year-old former Welsh internationals. The Ospreys have confirmed that George North, due to the injury that he suffered against Italy in the Six Nations, his ruptured Achilles means that he will never play a game for the Ospreys again, sadly. So sad for them. They say Dioch and goodbye to George, and he is on the road to recovery. He'll be playing his next rugby match, we think, for Provence in the Pro Day Deux. So a bit sad there. Shame he doesn't get a send-off for the Ospreys, but he's always been a Scarlet anyway, so this is just his final bit of revenge. Next, Lewis Rees-Zammit over in NFL. He is apparently been offered £900,000 a year, £900,000 a year to sign up for the summer training squads, not even play a game for several NFL sides, three sides to be precise. So I think, Zamo, this is paid off already. So congratulations to you. Can I have a ride in your Ferrari? Moving on, more financial news. This is several financial topics in a row here. The Red DISA Consortium, I think it's pronounced DISA, DISA, D-I-S-A. The Red DISA Consortium has this week concluded its equity deal to secure a controlling shareholder in Western Province Professional Rugby, a.k.a. the Stormers. So the money keeps coming to the South African rugby in general. Ed is going to be talking about lots of transfer news that's going to be happening, or we think it's going to be happening, in South Africa shortly. So stay tuned for that. But I think after the financial troubles that particularly the Stormers have had, it's very exciting to see them turn that around. I think the rest of us all need to be very scared of South African rugby moving forward, because they got money now, guys. They won back-to-back World Cups with no money, and now they got money. Be afraid. Championship rugby. So, interesting news that came out this week. So the Premiership in England has minimum standards criteria for being promoted, i.e. mostly the size of your stadium and your infrastructure, blah, 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 blah. The only Championship team that meets this criteria is Doncaster Knights, who are currently fourth in the table. They're unlikely to be promoted. They're a long way behind Ealing, and were they to even put a fantastic run together, you would expect them not to catch up with Ealing. And remember, even if they did finish top of the Championship, they would then have to play a home and away playoff against the bottom Premiership team, which would probably be Newcastle, and they'd have to win both of those. So it's very much stacked against them ever being promoted. It's very unlikely. The conversation that's been triggered by this is people wondering, if Ealing are willing to spend so much money on their playing squad, why, oh why, aren't they spending the money on their infrastructure so they can meet the minimum standards criteria to be promoted? Conspiracy theories? Maybe Ealing are looking to join a different league. I've been long banging the drum, almost to comical standards, that I think Ealing are looking to join the URC. So watch this space. We know that there has been conversations about Wasps, the Wasps Phoenix Club, joining the URC rather than the English Premiership. And we know that CEOs of Championship sides, I think either Ealing or Coventry or both, have said, no, if you are an English side and you're looking to join a competition, join the URC and not the English Premiership. So, connects the dots, people. It's all coming together. Speaking of the URC, all-time record TV audience for a single round was busted for round 8, which was around Christmas, so this is a few months old now. 2.978 million people. 2.978 million people watched the URC over that period. They call it 3 million. That's incredible. And by the way, it just looks like these numbers are going to keep getting bigger and bigger. So the URC continuing its expansion. Whenever you get news like this about the URC, there's always the usual suspect saying, oh, well, it doesn't count because... And I'm afraid it does count. Sorry, guys. So it's very exciting. Can't wait until the next time that record is broken. I'm sure it won't be long. Back to England, and it's revealed in The Telegraph that Mara Itoje, along with other top stars, including Finn Russell, might be in peril of breaching the welfare rules. So the welfare rules state that they can't play more than 30 to 34 games a season, depending on how they play those games, when they play them, etc., etc. And it turns out that players like Mara Itoje and Finn Russell only have 3 or 4 80 minutes left in the bank before they have to be rested for the rest of the season because they've played too much rugby. You've got to think that they're not going to play much between now and the sharp end of the season, particularly Saracens players and Bath players will have in their minds that they want to be playing in the playoffs and the final. I don't know whether the limited number of games applies to the playoffs and the final or whether they fall outside that. But still, plenty of rounds to go in the English Premiership, and it looks like we might not be seeing some of these top stars. Oh, what a tangled web we weave. Moving away from the UK now, and Emerging Rugby are reporting that Portugal fixtures so far that have been confirmed are South Africa in the summer, Namibia in the summer. That's very exciting. Looking forward to that. Namibia don't get to host many games from teams outside of Africa, so it's exciting to see that. And then in the autumn, Portugal are confirmed to be playing the USA, who they played last summer and beat quite handily. I think Scotland and Tonga. So if I just skip down a bit to Scotland's fixtures here. Scotland's fixtures for the rest of this year are absolutely fantastic. I should read them to you now. They're playing Canada, USA, Chile, Uruguay, Fiji. So that's all tier 2 nations, although Fiji we think are going to be tier 1 sooner rather than later. They're playing South Africa, boring. They're playing Portugal at home, and then they're playing Australia. Australia are going to be a tier 2 nation soon. I'm only joking. That's fantastic. Fair play to Scotland. Very exciting. Can't wait to see that. Can't wait to see what teams they're going to be putting out, because they've been very settled first choice, you know who their first choice is for the whole of the Six Nations. Are we going to see the likes of Finn Russell rested for the most of that? Blair Kinghorn, is he going to be there? We'll wait and see, but fantastic. I would love it if Wales played a fixture list like that, not just because we might actually beat some of those teams. Yeah, get Canada on the phone, sharpish. But yeah, congratulations to Scotland, doing all the right things. A topic that I skipped over there. Lamoureux, the Italian captain, has complained about his treatment and the whole Italian team's treatment by the Welsh the hosts that they had at the Six Nations just gone. Apparently their wives and partners and families were not invited to what they call the third half, which is effectively the after game function, and they weren't happy with the way they were treated in the warm-up. They were told that they needed to go inside 15 minutes early because they needed to get ready to come out, but Wales were left allowed to continue their warm-up for another 5 to 10 minutes, so they weren't happy about that. God, Wales, can't you do anything right? Skipping on down now, and Tier 2 Rugby are reporting that Black Lion, the Georgian franchise from Rugby Europe Super Cup, are in talks with some English clubs to play friendlies for the English clubs who aren't going to be involved in Europe and to top up their games. Now, Black Lion have got history of doing this. They obviously have played down in the Currie Cup in South Africa before. They've also played down in Super Rugby against the Super Rugby. Sorry, they played down in South America against the South America Super Rugby teams. So this will be exciting, but we'll keep an eye peeled for them. If they play against Gloucester, I'll go and watch it. I think Gloucester might still be in European rugby, which is a shame. But either way, looking forward to see what happens to this. I hope they do. Black Lion, their development strategy seems to be, rather than letting the players go to other clubs to develop, they say, no, we're going to take this franchise and play other teams to develop, which is very innovative and very good. And there's suggestions that from a lot of people that they would like to see Black Lion in the URC. Whether that's going to translate into official talks between the two parties is yet to be seen. But Black Lion, definitely one of the teams in World Rugby to be watching. If you go on our YouTube channel and search Black Lion, you'll find the story of them in the Currie Cup, which is a video that we're very pleased with. So check it out. It's exciting times. And finally, a story that many, many people sent me when it broke is that Castor now have a licensing deal with Umbro. So Castor are obviously the fairly new kit suppliers in the world of rugby union, have been there for a couple of years. Umbro are more of a legacy brand, but they seem to be stepping back, and it seems that the Umbro supplied teams from now on will just be Castor kits with the word Umbro written on them. The biggest one of those being the England men's national rugby union team will now be effectively a Castor team. Boo sucks to you, England. I have been pretty open with my dislike of Castor. They supply the Scarlets as well as some other teams that I support, and I don't like their products, and I don't like some of the things that their CEOs have been saying in the press about their quality and how they want to see themselves. If you go on all their website, you can see all their statements about how they're quite snooty about all the other kit suppliers. Well, take a look at yourselves, Castor. Your Scarlets kit absolutely sucks. Especially the grey one. Oh my God, it's awful. So England's having awful kits. Sorry, England. You'll learn how miserable it is being a Castor team moving forward. I'm being horrible here, but I'm not sorry about it. I don't like Castor's stuff. Anyway, that's enough from me. Before I hand you over to my friend and colleague, Ender, just want to remind you to give us a follow on Twitter so you never miss a bit of content that we drop. Sign up for our Substack to get our long reads, and fire us any questions that you like. We'll be absolutely delighted to answer them. Enjoy Ender's bit, and cheers all.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right, folks, let's run through the big rugby transfer stories that have broken or been confirmed over the past week. Bini Vunipola is set to join Montpellier on a two-year deal, while Wales scrum half Kieran Hardy looks set to be moving from the Scarlets to arch rivals the Ospreys. Jasper Vise might be moving back to South Africa, with rumours linking him with the Stormers. Billy Burns is off to Munster, while Portugal winger Lucas Marton is off to Ajax. Manitou Lagi is leaving Sale and joining Bayonne. And Paul Boyle and Dara Murray have both signed new contracts with Connacht, while it was also confirmed that Liam McNamara was granted an early release from his contract with the Irish province to allow him to return back to Australia. Junior Springbok Corner Beats is joining Leicester Tigers as a replacement for Vise, while the Premiership side has also confirmed the signing of Waratah centre Isaiah Parisi and Wales loosehead prop Nicky Smith. Now, let's move on to the rugby broadcast and kickoff guide for the weekend. So the men's Six Nations may be over for another year, but the women's Six Nations kicks off this weekend. And there is, of course, plenty of other rugby on over the coming days. So let's run through some of the major games and competitions being shown. So let's start with the URC. So it's back. We're entering round 12 this weekend, starting tonight, Friday. We've got two games kicking off at 7:35 as Glasgow hosts Cardiff and Ospreys host Munster. In the UK, Glasgow v Cardiff is available on Viaplay Sports. In Ireland, it's only available on URC TV. Ospreys v Munster is available free to air in the UK on BBC Wales 2. And it's also available free to air in Ireland on TG Cahir. And while the game is also available on pay TV in the UK on the Viaplay app and on Premier Sports 1. Moving to Saturday, Sharks host Ulster at 1 p.m. It's live on Viaplay Sports 1 and Premier Sports 2, and of course URC TV. At 3 p.m, Scarlets host Benetton on S4C, Viaplay Sports 2 and URC TV. While at 3:05, the Stormers host Edinburgh on Viaplay Sports 1 and Premier Sports 2. Moving to 5:15, Connacht hosts the Lions. It's available free-to-air on ORG2 in Ireland, and it's available pay TV on Premier Sports 2, and there's streaming coverage in the UK on the Viaplay app. At 7:35, Zebre host Leinster on ORG2, the Viaplay app, and Premier Sports 2. And to round off the weekend's URC action at 7:35 as well, we've got Dragons hosting the Bulls. There's free-to-air coverage on S4C and on pay TV on Viaplay app. And of course, if you're in Ireland, unfortunately the only way to watch this game is on URC TV. There's no linear coverage. Again, all URC games in the Republic of Ireland are available on URC TV. There's also Premiership action this weekend. Tonight we've got Bristol hosting Saints and Tigers hosting Gloucester. Bristol v Saints is available on the TNT Sports Red Button, while Tigers v Gloucester is available on TNT Sports 1. Moving to Saturday, we've got Exeter hosting Newcastle at 3 p.m. live on Premiership Rugby TV. At 3:05, Saracens host Harlequins. There's free-to-air coverage in the UK on ITV1, and there's also coverage on TNT Sports 1. And then moving to Sunday, we've got Bath hosting Wales live on TNT Sports 1. There's plenty of Major League Rugby coming up this weekend as well. I won't run through all of the coverage, but basically it starts on Saturday morning at 2:30 a.m. with Seattle Seawolves hosting Houston Sabercats, and there's coverage right up until 10 p.m. on Sunday with various different fixtures as RFC LA hosts Utah Warriors. Again, all of those games are available to watch for free on the Rugby Network. Now, what else is on this weekend? As I mentioned at the beginning, we've got the Women's Six Nations. So on Saturday, it kicks off at 2:15 as France host Ireland. It's live in Ireland on RTE2 and in the UK on BBC Red Button. At 4:45, Wales hosts Scotland. It's live in BBC Two and on Virgin Media 3. And finally, on Sunday at 3 p.m, Italy host England. It's live on BBC Two and it's streaming in Ireland on the RTE player. There is no linear coverage. Then, of course, we've got the top 14 back as well. Four games across the weekend being shown, starting with Saturday at 2 p.m. Toulon host Montpellier on the Viaplay app. And there's also linear coverage in Ireland on Premier Sports 1. At 4 p.m, Stade Francais host Lyon. That game is only available in the UK on the Viaplay app. Then at 8:05 on Saturday, Bayonne host La Rochelle. It's available only on the Viaplay app. And then on Sunday night, we've got Bordeaux hosting Toulouse at 8:05. It's available live on the Viaplay app and on linear TV in Ireland on Premier Sports 1. Of course, there's plenty more Super Rugby action as well. By the time this pod is released, Hurricanes will have played the Rebels and Brumbies will have hosted Moana Pacifica. But moving to Saturday at 1:05 in the morning, Fiji and Drua host the Waratahs. Then at 3:35 a.m, Chiefs play Highlanders. At 6:05, we've got the Blues v Crusaders. And then at 8:35, the Force v the Reds. All of those games are available on Sky Sports Action and are being streamed on the Now app. Enjoy the weekend, folks, and we'll chat to you next week. Sports Social Podcast Network.